Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So far, sermon text. May be seated. In Christ Jesus, who has come to this earth to reveal himself as the Savior of all of mankind, dear fellow redeemed, Epiphany. If you've read your bulletin already this morning, you'll note that that word means to make known, to manifest, to show forth, to appear. And all those terms are clearly seen in our scripture readings and our sermon text this morning. In our first scripture reading this morning, from Isaiah, we see Isaiah's prophecy that the Lord's glory would be made known to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. In our gospel reading, we see the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy in Matthew that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, appeared to the wise men, the first Gentile Christians recorded in the New Testament. Throughout Epiphany, we hear how Jesus appeared, was shown forth as God. Someone has written that during the Christmas season, we see how God became man, a human being, in the person of Jesus. But during the Epiphany season, we see how this man, Jesus, appears as God. And that's the mystery of the gospel. The word mystery means something that's hidden, not revealed. It's a secret. How many of your children wanted to peek at your presence that lay there so temptingly under the tree a couple weeks ago? Maybe you even did. Maybe you held the present, shook it, weighed it. Maybe you tried to press the paper to see what's behind it. The surprise and excitement of Christmas Eve or Christmas morning would have been destroyed, though. It would have been ruined if your parents would have told you what was there, if they would have revealed the secret of its contents. Well, in our text this morning, we find that we'd be ruining it too for others if we did not reveal to them, if we did not tell them the secret, the mystery of the gospel message. And that's our theme this morning. The salvation secret is out. And the first point is, God has revealed it in Jesus. Paul begins the text by remembering how God had graciously called him from being a hater of Christ a persecutor of Christ and Christians, by his grace, not only to be a believer, but to be an apostle, to be an administrator of this gospel message, this mystery of Christ, to others. What an amazing thing. Revealing the secret that God had for mankind. It was a humbling thing for Paul. And that's why Paul wrote, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Paul defined himself as being the least of the least, the lowest of the low, the most undeserving of all people. And if we're honest with ourselves as we look at our lives and compare with the unchangeable law, we too will see how wretchedly simple we are. And that's not a mystery. That's not a secret. We see our sins every day. The sins of the words that we say to others, the actions that we do towards others, especially in the sinful thoughts that we have in our hearts. How amazing that God reaches out and rescues us miserable sinners like us. And how does he do it? He does it by proclaiming the mystery, the secret of salvation into our hearts. There are many mysteries that are found in the Word of God. A mystery, again, is that which God alone knows, but which is then revealed to human beings for them to know, but then for them to take and to reveal to others so that they too know this secret, this mystery of God. In Christ, God the Father has forgiven us all of our sins, saved us alone through Christ Jesus. That's a mystery the world does not know. That's a hidden thing that is only revealed in God's Word. That God is in Christ in human flesh and blood is a mystery revealed only through the Word of God. That salvation is found only through God's grace in Christ Jesus, not through our works or our efforts or our strength. That's another mystery, a secret, that only those who know the Scriptures will have revealed to the Holy Spirit. That God so loved us miserable sinners that He would send His Son into this world to take our place, to be our substitute, to live the life of perfection we couldn't live, to die the death we deserve to die, of damnation. That's another mystery, a secret that no one but Christians who have had the Holy Spirit work in their hearts, faith through the gospel, knows. That mystery, that secret, God graciously revealed to Paul, and then called Paul to tell others about it. That secret God has revealed to you too, and to me, and has told us to tell others. The salvation secret is out. God has revealed it in Christ Jesus. Our second point is, God has revealed it for all people. God wants this salvation revealed to everybody, to all the world. The Bible is not just a mysterious, hidden, secret, obscure, unopened, unused book that only a special few can read and then teach to others. It's not something that only the clergy should know, so the laity sit there and be led around by religious scholars. It's something that you and you and you and you should read as well as me. So we're all religious scholars. So we have this mystery, this secret revealed to us, so we can also then tell other people. The secret of the gospel is not just for the Jews. It's for the Gentiles, you and me alike. God intended for all people to bring lost mankind to an understanding of their own sins, their own lost condition, but then of how God loves us so much in His Son. Paul writes to us in 1 Timothy, "God our Savior desires all men, all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." But did God have a plan in the Old Testament for salvation of all people? At first blush, as you read the Old Testament, it looks as if God bestowed all of His lavish love and grace upon only the Israelites, not the Gentiles. We need to remember, when was the first gospel promise given? Back in the Garden of Eden. by God himself, not a prophet. God himself said to whom? Adam and Eve, he would save mankind. They weren't Jews. There was no races or nationalities or kingdoms yet. The first message was given to mankind, all of mankind, that God would send his son. It's not God's fault that selfish, sinful mankind could care less about the message or didn't share it with his neighbors or the next generation. The Old Testament writings over and over and over again show clearly that God intended his Messiah to come for the salvation of all people. Remember, to Abraham, God said, this promise is to you, to all peoples on earth will be blessed through you, not just his immediate followers, his immediate children, the Israelites, the Jews, but to all people. In Leviticus, God says that foreigners living among the Israelites were never excluded from the kingdom. Remember Elijah went to the Gentile widow Zarephath in Zarephath during the famine, the drought. Jonah was called to proclaim the good news of the Messiah, Jehovah, to the Gentile evil people of Nineveh. In our gospel reading, Isaiah says the gospel will proclaim to the islands and the nations around the world, and Gentiles shall come to your light. But sad to say, during the Old Testament, very few Gentiles came. Most of them didn't care about the Jehovah salvation. They kept worshiping their gods of stone and metal and gold and silver. And even worse, sad to say, very few Israelites cared about reaching out to the ungodly with the message of the Messiah. But Paul says, what a difference now. What a difference today, in Paul's day. He writes, the Gentiles are fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ to the gospel. To the New Testament apostles, the Holy Spirit has taken that message that the Jews had for so many years and has spread it to all the world. To God, to the Gentiles as well. To God's ambassadors. Who would have believed that Gentiles would be partakers of the same kingdom? That they would be one with the Jews as a body of Christ? Prior to Paul's conversion, that would have made him sick to his stomach. He would have been revulsed by that. But now he rejoices. He rejoices in the fact that he's been called to proclaim this good news of salvation, especially to the Gentiles, the Goyim, the people of this world, not the Jews. He writes, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And what unsearchable riches? The unsearchable riches that Jesus is eternal, the eternal God. Yet he was born a human baby here in time. The riches that Jesus is all powerful, yet in weakness he allowed himself to be arrested and beaten and whipped and nailed to the cross. The unsearchable riches that Jesus is the immortal God, and yet he died as payment for the sins of all the world. The riches that he's the ascended Lord, see the right hand of God, yet he fills all things everywhere. We cannot fathom that glory. They're unsearchable riches beyond our comprehension, but riches that make us rich beyond compare, beyond comprehension. In fact, we can't put a dollar amount to them. Riches such as peace with God, full forgiveness of every one of our sins, joy, contentment, robes of righteousness, brighter than this, that make us righteous in God's sight, eternal life in heaven. And that's just the beginning of the list. And thirdly, we see from our text that God continues to reveal this salvation secret to the church. That means you and me. We read in verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. That word manifold is really interesting. It stands for flowers or multicolored cloth. Simple design, but when you look at it, the more you look at it, the more beautiful it looks. Kind of like a kaleidoscope of different colors. It's simple, yet so profound. Basic, yet so amazingly beautiful. And isn't that the mystery of the gospel? The gospel message is so simple. God loves human beings. But so profound. The almighty, holy, righteous, sinless God actually loves sin-filled, corrupt, miserable wretches like us. It's so basic. God sent his Son to die on the cross for mankind. But so amazingly beautiful that God would send his eternal Son, whom he loved, to come to this earth to suffer and die and be damned for us human beings. Simple yet profound, basic yet so tremendously beautiful. And God says, who's to proclaim this? You are. And I am. Notice, we're even to proclaim it so that the angels in heaven hear it. God says here, or Paul says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Paul says in the epistle that the angels love, desire to look into the wisdom of God, and they rejoice, and they joy over every sinner who repents. If even the angels are impressed with this manifold wisdom of God, this multifaceted, beautiful, yet simple, profound, yet basic wisdom of God, and rejoice over every sinner who repents, shouldn't we? All the more so. For this revelation of his saving will has been given to us. He planned it for us. He fulfilled it for us. He revealed it to us. And now he says he's going to proclaim it through us, through you, and through me. He didn't choose his holy angels, who are amazed and who glorify in that good news. Instead, he chose sinful, weak, incompetent, so often inactive, sinners like us, who serve ourselves far more than we serve Jesus. How amazing. What a humbling thing that is. That God chose us, jars of clay, to have this mystery, this secret that the world doesn't know, to bring to others. But unworthy though we are, Christ has taken away our unworthiness. And he has made us to be able, in faith, to stand in boldness, access to our Heavenly Father, in robes of righteousness, declared by God the Father to be perfect and righteous in Christ. Judgment Day is still a mystery. It's a secret that will be revealed someday. But thank God, he has revealed to us the secret of his love in Christ Jesus, of his amazing grace in our Savior. Let's not spoil it by not telling others this secret, this mystery. As someone has said, let's make it our business to put smiles on the angels' faces. Proclaiming the good news of our salvation is not only the personal privilege of every single one of us, it is the individual responsibility and ultimately the personal joy of every child of God. The wise men, as we heard, came and shared their wealth with Jesus. They traveled hundreds of miles for one moment to bow down to the baby king and give him their gifts. We have a lifetime to be able to bow down to Jesus and share our wealth of our time, of our treasures, and of our mouths and lips and serving Jesus. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.